and welcome to another episode of This Thing On. I am Alex Petrovich, and I'm here with my co-host Joe Foster.
Hello.
Producer Jade.
Hello.
And our fantastic guest this month, Ivo Graham.
Hello.
Hello, Ivo. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. This is a welcome distraction from a work in progress show.
We're pleased that we're able to distract you on this blisteringly hot day.
Well, I've been forced to go into the sea about five times in the last 2 weeks, so I'm just not that guy.
Yeah, but I mean,
I've a lot of time for people who aren't that person, but
isn't it fun once you're in?
It's quite nice. I've been lied to every single time. That it's so warm
in there.
Mm. And then you get in there, it's freezing.
Yes, it's not as temperature-wise, it's not as warm as not being in the sea.
Yeah, you'll definitely be able to see your ankles.
Yeah, no, but sometimes I do have that thing where I sit down.
It's always sitting down in the sea. I just think, can I say quite sort of bleak as well, which is that I think one of the things I really like about it is that in the whole sort of get in touch with nature thing, quite nonsense, but it's just I'm not on my phone.
Yeah.
And I know that seems mad for like when you're talking about when you're going for like a 20-minute swim.
Mm.
But such is the extent of my addiction to it and my awareness of my phone being about my person and my just constantly going to it, which is something obviously that I should be able to curb and I'm trying to do. But that any activity where I'm just doing that thing and being with, let's say, you know, I'm on my own or with one person, I'm just with that person, even for just like a short swim, it suddenly feels so much purer, I think. You know, it's that thing about going to the cinema and just watching a film for 2 hours. But it's really bleak how that, for me, is starting to feel like even a window of just doing, like, I look forward to going for my run because it's like all I'm going to be doing is going for this run this time.
You find if you watch like a film at home and your phone's there, you don't, the phone become a distraction then?
Of course it is. It always starts with like, justifications in my head. It's justifications to do with the film. I like that song, or that song, or where's that actor from? I'd like to know. And there's always in my head because I love like learning, and I'm always in my head sort of revising for some imaginary pub quiz that's never going to happen. It is productive to me to know who that actor is, so that when I'm talking to someone about the film, or when it comes to a conversation, I will actually have. Think about it.
And that's quite a good thing to say about a film.
Exactly. What a great, Blazing Saddles came out of nowhere there.
I think that it would be, but a lot of the time it is for me.
It's always Blazing Saddles.
I don't know what Blazing Saddles. Should I watch Blazing Saddles?
It's a great film.
It's very sort of strange, but in quite a nice way. I haven't watched it for a couple of years.
Maybe it's aged bad.
It's about a black sheriff that takes over a white town in America.
And Mel Brooks.
Mm. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And he's in it.
So it's a comedy
film. It's a comedy film, yeah. Is this a shit game?
Bear in mind the feature's already been cut.
It was the year the film's made is the answer to every question, so you just give the film. Year it was made, and what was good about it is people would come out with stories from their own life because they were kind of crap.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I was with a comedy writer a few weeks ago, and he said, I can't remember how we got onto it, but he sort of really put out there quite promptly. He said, my mastermind specialist subject would be what year films from the 90s from Robert. So Red Rag to a Bull, I got up like, you know, from the list of like the greatest films of the 90s, fine. And he got two of them. but it was just such a funny thing to be like, yeah, what defines me is my pinpoint. But you're right, anything that triggers a sort of memory, I think, is nice. I was talking to my brother about this about the World Cup final, because actually, I legged it from front to teeth because I wanted to watch the World Cup final with my brother on Sunday before last. And he was down in South London, so it was a sort of fact to get to. It would be nice to stay, having a laddie chat with Julian in the men's own day.
It's great that you ended it by now. Sorry, mate, I've got to catch the final.
Yeah, I want to watch the football. Well, needless to say, your sexuality is in question. I'm off to meet my brother, and but I thought I don't want to miss the final because it's, you know, the World Cup final over 4 years, whatever. But it's things like that, or seeing fans at festivals, seeing movies at the cinema, are really good mental prompts for like where, you know, where you sort of what you were doing at certain times, or which group you were with, and that sort of leads you into. It's just a very good memory marker.
Yeah. Well, I still want. We ran into someone. I don't know whether you've ever done a preview at the Carolina Brunswick.
Yes, I have. Three. Yeah. All disastrous.
So Cliff, who runs the Caroline, I was talking to him about it, and he goes, "Oh, I like your game about the film years." And I said, "Oh, everyone keeps on telling me it's shit." And he goes, "Yeah, it's shit, but it's fun to play along."
Yeah. Do you have a couple of films off the top of your head that you have the definite answers for?
Yes.
Okay. Hit me.
Well, I think, anyway.
Well, that's no problem.
I feel like I've put it from The Matrix.
Well, this came up in my 90s one for my friend Simon. I'm going to say 1999 for The Matrix.
I think The Matrix is 1999. Right at that.
I'm going to give you Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say 1996. Seven.
That is 1997. Oh,
that's a great game.
What game? Why did we cut it?
We do one final one?
Was I right with The Matrix?
You were, yeah. And I'm almost 100%. That was one of the ones I was like, bang, I am confident. Trainspotting?
I don't know Trainspotting. I've watched it, but I don't. And it's a bit early for me to link it to any sort of life. I think I'm going to set by 90. Oh, that feels quite early, actually. That does feel quite early.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say 98.
1996. Pitch perfect between Graham and
What would you were saying a second ago about his mastermind subject. What would your mastermind subject be?
Mad Men. I've given a lot of thought. I love Mad Men.
I've not seen it.
Well, I don't watch, I've not watched a lot of the sort of big box set. Another bad habit of mine, as well as the fact that to go back to what we were saying, I don't get through TV or box sets as quickly as people can, as people do, because it takes me 2.5 hours to watch an hour's episode of television.
Absolutely.
And it's so unproductive. And I used to live with someone who was just just an absolute animal of just eating up. And I'd be like, how has he seen all these films and read all these books? And it was because it would, you know, a half hour for the would take him half an hour, and then he would switch immediately on to the next one. And in my mind, I'm going, but you're not logging down which film you're watching. But ultimately, that would matter if you're watching the primary sources and you're just getting
the yeah.
So Mad Men's one of the only ones I've seen, basically, and I watch, and my other problem is I watch things that I love over again rather than watching new things.
So
I've seen Mad Men probably 3 times already.
I put those kind of things on as a justification that so I can still use my phone. So I'll put that one on there. Can I just so it's something on in the background so I can still use my phone at the same time?
Right.
If I'm watching something new, right, phone's got to go away, got to properly sit down and focus. Like,
it's such a familiar logic. It's so bad. I want something I can ignore.
Have you ever thought of films with subtitles? That's a good way to actually have to concentrate.
I put subtitles on everything.
Oh, yeah,
I've done it since I was young, but I had to stop now because I realised watching Netflix specials, the punchline comes up before you've seen it, and it just started ruining comedy.
And presumably for like comedy films as well, I guess. It's quite annoying.
Yeah.
There's so many flaws. I'm sort of anti. I'm concerned that. About as real should be the death of culture, and I think I'm basically extrapolating from my own failed attention span. I'm sure there are people out there who are sort of clinging on a lot better than I am, but I think the fact that everything now has the option of it's like everything, you can skip the intro and everything, so it's like, oh, don't bother with it, because we're all so agitated and we all need to get our hit as quickly as possible, and we can barely hold our attention. We're going to spend 30 seconds watching some like well-made opening titles. Skip that immediately. And silly, this thing where like every video, every comedy video that pops up on Facebook now has subtitles. I don't know whether there are more, maybe I'm missing out on some much more logical reason why that's a good thing, but as far as I can see, it's just attention grabbing. It's pure, like, we don't trust you even to immerse yourself in effectivity without us, like, ramming home what's happening.
And yeah.
I find it really weird, the sort of nuance of that. But it's like every comedy video also has a, you know, big laughing emoji on top with, like, a really cool summary of what the topic is. Like, you won't have to, like, do any mental legwork as to what this video is about. Like, everything is conditioning you towards, like,
the captions.
Yeah, oh,
they're so they always use those abbreviations, don't they? Like, this is totally on point, and you're like, fuck off. I won't watch.
What an on-fleek observation.
So I just think that makes it quite makes it hard. But then even with subtitles, I would have to, when I do watch things with subtitles, I like the fact that I feel I have to work, because otherwise I'll just completely miss it. So one thing my girlfriend and I watched is The Bridge,
the
Scandal thriller, which we love nothing more than to get up after a long day and not check each other at all. And it's a Scandal crime. But you know, you have to be watching, whereas with other things I've just drift off. And one of the so easily distracted, and she sort of makes fun of the fact that I will just miss quite big, like, plots. This is that I'm the sort of, like, failed brain that these new things are catering to, because I will miss, like, quite subtle bits of plot and narrative, or sometimes not even subtle, because I'll drift off. We were watching the San Junipero sort of Black Mirror very movie. Have you watched that?
I haven't seen the new
It's from the second to most recent series that last year. It's a really beautiful one. It always sort of comes tops of everyone's, like, their favourite Black Mirror episodes, and it's quite positive rather than the sort of slightly bleak ones. But it's set in lots of different time periods, and there's a montage which illustrates that, which one review that I read described as, like, a needlessly obvious bit of, like, telegraphing, because they go through lots of different time periods and they walk past all those signs. They, like, signs saying, like, it's 1975,
yeah.
Or, like, a post-war saying, like, welcome 1980, whatever it is. And I just missed all of that, and about, like, 50 minutes later, I sort of asked some boneheaded questions. My girlfriend was like, I've been travelling in time this whole thing. anyway, sorry, I feel I'm dragging this a bit off.
I don't know what the topic was.
What would be your mastermind topic in I've given it a lot of thought.
I hate to say it, I do think mine would be football related.
Yeah, there's no harm in that.
It's where my encyclopedic knowledge is most at its strongest, I feel. And that's what when you were saying about things that you get distracted with. I'll be watching a film. Sometimes it won't even be related to the film. I'll just be like, I wonder how Fortuna Düsseldorf are getting on in the Bundesliga too. And I'll just be looking at and then you disappear into, that's my weakness, I disappear into Wikipedia. I mean, from one Wikipedia jumping and stuff like that. Oh, have you ever been on the website Sporkle?
Oh, Sporkle is an old friend.
we've danced that devil.
Yeah,
that's where me and my housemates at uni used to.
It was the best. It was the absolute best. Apart from, as I said, you know, going out and, sitting indoors with one or two friends, needlessly niche football or geography quiz.
Do you know what's
called? No, I don't know.
It's basically like, how would you do it? Quiz website.
It's just a quiz website, but it's all category based. So it's it'll set a timer according to the difficulty of what you're trying to do. And it's like, can you name all the countries of Africa in 10 minutes? Or, you know, the top 100 Premier League goal scorers of all time.
Yeah, or highest grossing brands for that year in the UK.
Exactly. And if you get it right, they pop up on the list. So you've got that little chemical hit. You type in a footballer and it just doesn't come up, and like, I felt it wrong.
It's a different kind of buzz. All my friends at university go out partying. It's a different kind of buzz when you realise you've named every single African country.
There's so many guineas.
So it's almost as like my degree to go back.
Oh, my degree was definitely quite heavily impinged by sports. But the Wikipedia thing is a real, when it comes to my internet time waste thing, you can justify, you know, it's knowledge. But it's just, again, that same thing of just not having any plan at all. just following the path of least resistance of your temptation. And of course, there are worse temptations than just reading lots of trivia about, you know, 90s football. But football trivia is so infinite.
That it's
quite a sort of it's quite a delicious thing to go deeper and deeper into, and there's so, and it's so relatable to so many people, and there's so much of the whole industry around football podcasts and sort of football nostalgia and quizzes online, and people are very funny on Twitter about, like, did you know this, or do you remember this, or
Jim Campbell on.
He does one of the big ones.
Football Ramble.
And but what amazed me about him is that because he lived here for a bit, the first couple of times I met him, I would have no idea that he had any interest in football. He was one of those rare people that was able to completely change what he was talking about. But like, he never mentioned football, and then someone was like, he's got one of the biggest football related podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, I like that. I mean, that's the dream, isn't it? To be able to have multiple interests and keep them separate. But Jim, I guess he's not awful laggiest stereo. He's not too typical football. But then football podcasting and football trivia is such a whole different industry. It's full of these more like chin strokey, like beta male type.
Yeah.
And not to bring that stereotype Jim, but that's like, it's all fair play to him for what I'm like, how well that podcast done. And I got in quite early as well.
Yeah.
That way that I find I talk about sort of podcasts that started in 2000, and I don't know when the Football Ramble started, but podcasts that started in 2011 rather than 2015. It's like, and there was still so much land.
We were late to the party.
Yeah. I haven't even joined them.
When they started, I think they were at uni or something. But I got into this World Cup, but I generally don't watch football at all, because it's partly that reason. There just is so much of it, and I can't commit. And
that's what I love about the World Cup. It's just
simple.
Well, and everyone gets on board. Like, even people that have no interest in football, they all get involved. And
I think it's a nostalgia thing from when you were a kid, because then when you were a kid, World Cups was a huge part of everything.
That's it. But I find I'm looking forward to them more now as an adult. I don't know if I was ever a kid in my life, I didn't look forward to a World Cup, but maybe as a teenager, you sort of slightly lost a bit of a passion for it. And now, I don't know, maybe that's a reaction to, like, as you say, to sort of adult life. Not quite being all it was cranked up to be, but actually, you know, that reminds you of what you look forward to as a kid then becomes. I mean, I've got so many adult friends who just not ironically were just sort of talking about how excited they were by the World Cup.
Yeah.
Did any of your friends, a lot of my friends my age, did it? I'm 30 this year. The sticker albums.
Yeah, I did a sticker album in 2014, and I did Euro 2016, and I got off the bus this year because
it's a dangerous game.
And it went up to 80p a pack. Quite a big hike. I loved it. Yeah. I did something of a withdrawal this year. Remember, I was doing a weekend for Manchester store with Justin Morehouse, who was doing stickers, and he bought all these packs and he hadn't stuck them in. And he said, I've got to stick my stickers in. And he talked about it all past. You can imagine with an air of resentment. and he was comparing, so he had to sort of go on quite a lot, whereas I was just in the dressing room all night after I went on first. And I said, Justin, I'd be very happy to stick a stick. And you did all of
it. I just need that hit.
And I love it, and you're doing it, so, you know, getting them in perfectly.
You've only got that one chance.
Yeah,
you can't unpeel and stick it back.
You can't, it leaves a mark, Alex.
I went to my friends the same day while we watched all the football games together. Two of my friends were collecting and they were doing it. And the heartbreaking realisation when he looked at his Brazil squad was like, I've got two Marcelos. He stuck Marcelo in the wrong spot.
Oh dear. Like, and his whole, can he done the whole book?
No. That was just, he thought he'd completed Brazil, but he had two Marcelos. So then he was trying to look at his other friend's book to realise what space was what. And
adult life is little.
Social etiquette of stickers.
But again, my friend who I'm trying to not worship, but like his visibility to just sort of like get through like films and television and has a lot of knowledge and everything. He loves football and he watches sort of football matches occasionally, he watches Match of the Day and he always knows what's going on. But he doesn't do stickers, he doesn't follow loads of football beyond Twitter, he doesn't read loads and loads of football articles. I think that's the thing. It's obviously great to have hobbies and passions where you just go deeper and deeper into things, but I think with football, it's just so infinite that's why people are into it and at the expense of so many other things. Whereas actually, my conversations with friends or strangers or taxi drivers or whatever about football would probably be no more insightful than my friend who just watches Match of the Day once a week.
Yeah.
I'm not getting anything more out of it than the stoking of my own addiction. That makes sense.
Your taxi drivers are never going to be like, oh yeah, sure, fair enough, I see your point.
Yeah.
Opinion's changed.
I remember just after the referendum I got in a taxi, and he said, oh no, it's a bit quiet out tonight. I said, well, I'm fairly certain everyone's just a bit depressed. And he was like, well, I'm happy. I was happy as a pig in shit. And it started like that. Then carried on for ages. And even though I was just like, yeah, this is all bullshit, he went on for... It didn't stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he went on for a good 20 minutes. So it's very rare that they're going to go... Plus, they always have... I always find their opinions quite weird. Like, especially if you are talking about something like football, they'll have a... They'll be like, no, he's fantastic. And you're like, well, I've heard... Because I will never know.
Yeah. I hate Gazza's in.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the other thing about exposure to just if you're on social media and you're just giving that feels from like 19 hours of your day just scrolling through that and just being exposed to so many. I know that the sort of established wisdom is that social media is the echo chamber where it sort of hardens your viewpoints because you only see other people agree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find that the more I read, the more I become aware of just the infinite amounts of sort of opinions and takes and things, and the amount of things that I don't know about, and I feel more and more cowardly about sort of having an opinion on things.
Whereas
I think maybe not. I mean, painting with just unbelievably broad brushstrokes about taxi drivers who like the sound of their own voice.
Yeah,
they're just mouthing off to strangers. As you say, people who haven't even showed an interest for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
and sort of enjoying their own rhetoric. They're not sort of saying, in a darkened room, just seeing how much disagreement there is on Twitter. And there are just so many opinions to sort of inject.
I do quite like the comment section because you go, you'll read an article and then you'll make your own opinion.
Mm.
And then you'll go, oh, I think that my opinion is pretty solid.
Mm.
I'm never usually I'm never massively one way or the other. Usually I can see the other person's point, but I just think, oh, this is a good. But then you read it, and what happens is, so there is usually 5 to 7 comments agree.
Yeah.
Then the tide turns.
Okay.
Then there's, I think, 14 people disagreeing. And then by the end of it, it comes back round, and it just goes on forever. But I can just sit there and read them talking about what is essentially nothing.
That's the problem. I think there's things in my life that would... that I could cut out to make myself more productive would be, I think, comment sections. So far. Because they go on forever. And with things underneath football articles or news articles, this has developed these ludicrous rules where it's like, I will read all the comments underneath the Guardian article, but down to the page one. But I won't click through to page two. Therein the loss of my afternoon lies.
You will get sucked in.
Yeah, well, then it never stops, and that's why,
I realise that I always prefer my friend who possibly put something up. It used to be on Facebook, but now everyone's sort of not doing Facebook that much anymore, where there'll be a situation, and then there'll always be someone who stupidly fucking wanders into the thing, going, this is my opinion, and you go, this is... It's usually about... Stand-up is particularly bad for it. And someone will go, this is what I think about this. And a lot of the times they're wrong, but I will like them a lot more than the people who wait for 3 days till the opinion's been gauged and then come out and say, I've read a lot of what everyone else has said and I've decided that I agree. And it's just like, I always prefer the people more who make the stupid mistake.
Do you chip in there?
I won't put anything, because the thing is, the benefit is, so my mum got Facebook about 2 years ago, and my sister, she kept on commenting on my sister's wall when she was
referendum.
On a Friday, on a Friday night at about 11:30, I'd be like, oh, she's written that, she'll regret that in the morning, and then my sister deleted her, and my mum rang me up, and it was literally like she'd been shot. She was like, your sister has explained it to me. But I used to get involved in that sort of stuff when I was in, what, secondary school, but now I've just learned I don't really contribute to the thing. Unless I think someone's really going for someone who's obviously not read that much into it.
I just think it's quite sort of, like, sad, your like mum getting upset that you're sister it's just such a, I don't know, I know it's such an obvious point to make. The sentence, like, my mum got upset because my sister unfriended her, ludicrously alien and sort of arbitrary thing that would be to anyone I've, like, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago. I'm a big lover of, like, you know, traditional, you know, hierarchies, but, like, the idea and the illusion for as long as one can cling on to it that your parents are on a sort of higher plane of wisdom and of detachment from, like, you know, kid shit like Facebook and, like, arguing about who's friends with who. And I think the fact that social media has just leveled people of all generations to this just noisy, squabbling playground. it's just so undignified across the board. And it's so, and, like, you know, I know it's really such a cliche. Oh, my mum's joined Instagram. Why can't they have it too? they're just as bored as, you know, as we are. I think, you know, they might be retired and say they've got even more time than me. But, like, I just don't want my, I want my parents to be more authoritative and more cool than that. And I, you know, and I think there's just something quite strange about it. We've had similar politics, you can imagine, sort of, to do with the family WhatsApp and the family Instagram. Maybe.
Yeah, I haven't got a WhatsApp yet, thanks to fuck.
On that bombshell, time for our famous feature, Plot That About. Plot, that's a plot, that's a plot, that's a plot,
that's a plot, that's a plot, that's a... What's that about?
Basically, I give you and Joe a different film each, and these are both real films and film titles, and you've got to tell me what you think the plot is about. And feel free to embellish as much as you like with whoever you think's in it.
It's about a million miles away from the classic parlor game, Balder Dash.
Yeah. I've never played Balder Dash.
Well,
I think they've nicked my idea. I'm
getting a strongly worded email from the producer of the
Make a note, we will consult our lawyers. Joe will go first as our resident. Joe, your film, just because I think this film title will annoy you more, Solar Babies. Solar Baby.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh.
Which of the two words is proving?
I always say that my titles are shit, but
there's no such thing as a shit title in Plots That About. I'm new to the game, I can tell you. Isn't that what you make of it?
I'll also let you know, Joe's never won.
Okay.
There is... Okay. Earth has been destroyed.
Great stuff.
See where the solar elements coming in.
Steady on, Alex.
They're on a... The main characters, who shall be revealed, are on a breaking, slowly deteriorating rocket ship.
Great stuff.
In space? No, yeah. they are in space, trying to find somewhere to have chip. It's one of those really depressing ones, like 2012. Sort of like that. You know, 2012 is like, why was you watching? It's just the end of the world.
Oh, I forgot that there was a movie called 2012. I thought you were referring to
this single year.
The self-referential sitcom about the Olympics.
So, they're trying to find a place where they can make new life or whatever. And there is the main character. The leading man is Paul Gascoigne, and he is trying to find. They come across a distant moon.
Played by Paul Gascoigne, or it is Paul Gascoigne.
It's Paul Gascoigne, played by Morgan Freeman.
It's a hell of a twist.
and the female. Because there's always the... There's a family.
So why gather on this spaceship, then? Is he one of the last remaining survivors of Earth?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he's the only one crazy enough to get off this rock.
Right. Oh, well.
That's the tagline.
He just, yeah, he turned up at NASA with a and his wife is played by Debbie Harry. And their kids are the daughter is Tracy Beaker. And then the son is Julian Lescott.
Okay.
I'm making it slightly football related.
You're making very
almost funny. Unconsciously.
Yeah. Joe's not that big a football fan. He's pulling out all the names. He's trying to show off.
Hey, I'm impressed.
Got a lad on the podcast.
I know things.
And then, and racially, it's an interesting sort of it's an interesting setup that you've got Morgan Freeman playing Paul Gascoigne, and then his son Julian Lescott, which is go on, Shannon.
It's gonna be great. So then he's got his sidekick, because the main character Paul Gascoigne has a sidekick called Nathan,
okay.
who's played by Jason Orange, which is the second time he's come up. Really weirdly. So they're on a spaceship and they're trying to find somewhere to touch down. And
your Geordie accent.
Yeah.
He's been in space for a long time.
And they need to set off a signal. And they come up with this thing about, because they basically they're running out of fuel and they'll never find another planet by driving. They need to create an explosion, which will be like an SOS. So they have a long discussion, because the only other option besides that would be to eat them all, eat themselves, eat each other. And the person whose life is hanging about isn't the family, it's Jason Orange's life, because he's the only one who's not related, and he offers himself up. So they're like, right, we've got this one shot, and then Jason is going to be eaten. So they get together all the things that they've got left from Earth, and they've got some bangers.
That's good.
Yeah, lucky.
Yeah,
and you think that would be pointless, wouldn't you? But no. And they're French bangers as well. So oh, they're good ones.
Right.
And they put that all together, because they've also got some petrol. And they put that all on a... this is fucking shit. I put it all right.
No, it's not shit at all. It's, if anything, it's there's too many ingredients in it. And I can see why you're struggling to sort of...
to tile the loose
ends. I thought this game was us trying to guess what the actual plot of the film is. Is this a real film, Solar Babies?
Yeah. So I reveal what the real film is at the end.
Well, I hope for it's a life for life.
How does it end, Joe?
It ends with they fire off the signal and it explodes, but unfortunately nobody comes, so they start eating Jason, and then once Jason is eaten, the radio goes once they finish the last fire, and it's someone saying, "Well, it's not in English." They say we've been healthy and something comes over the horizon.
Oh,
and then Gaza starts crying again.
Okay. Again.
There's only two times you quite Italian night here when Jason Orange was eating.
Wow. I like a film that has a sort of a happy and sad ending.
Mm.
Great, they're getting ready.
I was trying for Lost in Space.
Yeah, okay, which I haven't seen in my career.
But that is the reason why things are so hard to do in space, I think. Because I was really...
Because people get eaten. I was really struggling.
Just constantly resisting the urge to eat a man.
Ivor, you ready for your film?
Okay, we're not going to find out what actually happened in Solar Babies.
I will reveal at the end.
Okay.
Your and the way it's judged is Jane decides which version of your two films she'd most like to see.
I'm just going to struggle to top that.
Your film is Second Sight.
Second Sight. Okay. Well, this one stars Paul Gascoigne. It's very tempting.
Who's he played by?
listen, it's Gaston playing Morgan Freeman. it was a swap deal that they agreed.
Your contract.
Yeah, it's like being on someone's podcast and then they go on your podcast. You know, it's a neutral actor. Two very capable actors. But you know, I didn't realise prior to listening to Joe that the game is essentially about cramming many ill-fitting celebrities.
I mean, I wouldn't use him as a leading example.
No, he's the only other person I've ever seen play this game. I still don't know Tracy Beaker. Is Tracy Beaker a real person or is she a fictional character?
She was in the programme Tracy Beaker, so she is fictional, yeah.
Okay. I love hearing him think as he talks.
That's why you were trying to work out what fictional match is.
Which one's the real one? She wasn't that.
Because that one had, because everyone else was, it was very unclear who were the actors and who were the real characters. So in this one, it's going to be a cast of unknown actors.
Okay.
it's unknown actors. But the Paul Gascoigne and Morgan Freeman comes up with a red herring. It's an indie film. Yeah, I'm not afraid to shy away from describing a film with no recognisable actors. Trying to sell it on the plot alone. but the real twist in Second Sight is that you've heard of silent movies, of course.
Yes.
This one's actually a blind movie. Okay. So wow. It is. Yep, the cinema is dark. You essentially listen to a radio play.
Okay.
And it's a radio play about a family of people who've got a blind son.
Okay.
A blind son, and he's lamenting his blindness to his parents, and the fact that he'll never be able to see. And about halfway through the film, the possibility of a life changing miracle cure is offered up. Okay, I'm real dealing with a phrase.
Wow, well, hang on, wow.
For blindness, and the family have to save up for this operation, but they do. That takes about sort of 1 to 2 hours, sort of, you know, part time jobs, a lottery win, etc. And eventually, they find a Kickstarter.
all
the time.
All this everywhere,
and finally, when they manage to pay for their son's operation, he gets the operation, at which point the film ceases to be a blind film, and you, the audience, acquire the power of sight.
Oh, good luck in this competition.
And you get to see what the son sees. But twist. He's a human, but his whole family were a family of talking animals. And we're left wondering about whether ignorance is bliss, and whether you would rather live in your entire life blind, just presuming that you had a human family, than realise that actually you were living the actually quite humiliating experience of being a blind boy wasted on hand and foot by a series of highly articulate dogs.
That's got Sundance film. Yeah. Film of the year written on. Wow, that's very impressive. Jade, I can't wait to see which film,
right,
film you choose.
Okay, so Solar Baby. Solar Babies. Who was the SOS for? Because if all the humans are dead.
It's for a different civilization.
Okay, right, yeah. I mean, we've already talked about the Paul Gascoigne, Morgan Freeman. I like Tracy Beaker. I knew who Tracy Beaker was. I used to watch it when I was younger. I mean, I've never seen her in this kind of role before, eating Jason Orange. Yeah. I mean, it's a complete departure for her.
I'd like to point out that Matt LeBlanc is actually very good at Lost in Space. A new one. Anyway, carry on.
I feel there were quite a few loose ends untied, but I did quite like the we talked about Black Mirror before, and I quite like the Black Mirror type ending, yeah, where they've eaten them, but then the twist, and they could have got away, they could have never eaten him if they waited 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
So that was very good.
Just another morality playback cannibalism.
But Second Sight. Okay, I love radio plays, so you tapped right into one of my loves already. Mm. So much could be said. And then the twist as well, I mean, that was pretty powerful. I think, and it will leave us thinking.
We've done radio plays before.
I'm actually a little bit ashamed of the twist, if I'm honest.
I mean, I've got to say.
Really spent all the budget on making those dogs the final
No, there couldn't be any visuals at the start.
All their phone cards.
I mean, you've also tapped into like the whole BoJack Horseman kind of. That's a popular thing, so.
Good old BoJack.
Yeah, so.
At least humiliating existence.
Yeah.
I love it. I love BoJack.
Yeah, you've tapped right into that. So, I mean, Ivo. You won.
Sorry that the streak continues.
That's the fourth time I've agreed with you when I've lost. Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, you've made it easy for me to decide every time.
Right, the real films. Second Sight.
Who's in that?
I'm going to say the two names. No, three names. But I don't know any of them. John Larroquette, Bronson Pinchot, and Bess Armstrong.
Nothing from me.
No. So, it's about an ex-cop who pairs up with a wacky psychic to form the Second Sight Detective Agency. So the clairvoyant helps with all the things. The main plot is about a nun recruits them because the next pope has been kidnapped. And Solar Babies. So it's set in sort of like a space post-apocalyptic wasteland. A group of youth orphans.
You're taking the bit.
Of course it's set in space. It's called Solar.
Is it? Well, I didn't know that one. Hang on, you can really shake this up.
I've got a twist up my sleeve. It's about a group of youthful orphans who play this hard-hitting game, which is basically hockey, when there's this undefined authority known as the Protectorate who's trying to catch them, and it leads to a struggle between good and evil.
There we go.
Well, so those are real films.
That must have been a very expensive film to make, for it to be about hockey at the end.
Yeah, the hockey.
You're quite right. Congratulations, Ivo. On your win today. What's that about? What have you got that you would like to plug?
You're in Edinburgh.
I'm in Edinburgh, yep.
Reminding
me. But I'm joyous how I'm not thinking about it. I'm going to Edinburgh next week, where there will be nightly screenings of my film Second Sight. And don't use it. It's like
Q&A with the dogs.
Dogs at the end, which is a real treat.
Not all of the dogs, sadly, are going to be available throughout the fringe. Basically, it's a bit of a nightmare. But there will be at least one of the dogs every night for a chat at the end. Meanwhile, I'll be performing my comparison very underwhelming stand-up show at the Pheasant Courtyard all through Edinburgh. So.
What time are you on?
6:40 PM.
6:40 PM. And what is your Twitter?
My Twitter is Ivo Graham. At Ivo Graham. It's very good of you to ask. I always slightly think if people give a shit, they can find it. I know it sounds so, you know, you give this lovely plug section. Much heralded plug section. But when you hear people like reading out like full websites, like it's www. Like, if you care, just put the fucking effort in. Google Analytics are so good at bumping the relevant stuff up to the top that if you want to find my quite underwhelming Twitter account, it's there. Conveniently, it is just Ivo Graham.
I don't even have to put much effort in. Hazard a guess, just stab at Ivo Graham. You're probably going to.
You know, my career's going okay, but I've not inspired a legion of imposters.
Troll accounts,
exactly. Putting out false views to the world. No, it's all there, and I'm doing my best. What about you guys? What are you plugging?
I'm going to Edinburgh.
All sound quite damn good.
We do, because it's.
What time and where, Joe?
4:45 at Moriarty's Bar, the 2nd to the 27th with no gas, because I didn't realise that you could do that. Too late.
I think that's okay. I've got one day off. Again, I'm not going to say which. If you care,
do your research.
It's annoying. It's the same as everyone else's. Every year I forget to put on a different day. But like, I think the day offs are overrated. You should just stress about what you're going to do in that.
Yeah.
Breaks your rhythm. Well done, you.
Full way through the whole shebang.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then that's the only thing I'm plugging at the moment, because that's the thing that will really be bad if no one comes.
Yeah.
I am not in Edinburgh this year, and that's why I sound like this.
Just a happy go lucky
guy. But yeah, just give us a subscribe and review and all that stuff on iTunes. Yeah. I've said that in a few episodes. If you like us, then put some effort in.
Doesn't sound quite the same.
No, I sound rather more threatening. Ivan, could you tell them what I just said? Nicer.
like the friend that schools arrogant dad.
The effort that you've put into that, improvising that film synopsis, okay?
I think that's everything for this month. I've been Alex Petridge. Thank you, Joe Foster.
Thanks.
Thanks, producer Jade.
Thank you.
And thank you, Ivo Graham.
Thanks, guys.
Bye!